Okay, for those who still want to meditate, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. For those who still want to meditate, can continue. Okay. We will continue from where we stop. Page 132. Question 1. Brahatio, the Sutta said, Buddha became enlightened through self-realization. Then why is it also mentioned in the first sermon that the Buddha himself also had to go through the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths to become enlightened? So this was the question. The Buddha had already cultivated for 3¾ asaṅkhayakalpas, or aeons, to fulfill his 10 perfection. So this one we are referring to Sakyamuni Buddha. Prior to his full enlightenment in India 2600 years ago. So the Buddha was already a Bodhisattva then, and he had cultivated the three turnings and the Four Noble Truths before. What happened was, when he became fully enlightened under the Bodhi tree, he inherited all his past perfection and cultivation, so he knew the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, and are very important. In the first sermon, the Buddha's opening statement is to advise the five ascetics to avoid the two extremes of sensual indulgence and self-mortification via the middle path, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, as proclaimed by him. The deeper meaning of the Noble Eightfold Path is, or the middle path, is to transcend all duality. In the early day, when I was cultivating the Buddha Dhamma, I didn't really know about the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. But I was indeed very lucky because I met a Thai monk, Prachanyantra Amaro Bhikkhu, in 1988. And it was he who constantly, not less than 6 times, advised me to contemplate all dhammas spoken by the Buddha until they become very, very clear. I didn't know that this was the second turning of the Four Noble Truths until much later. I also emphasize a lot on the importance of cultivating the daily mindfulness. He also emphasized a lot on the importance of cultivating daily mindfulness because of my very strong sadha and faith in Achanyantra and the Triple Gem. I cultivated this Dhamma contemplation, or the second turning, and the daily mindfulness a lot. And my understanding of the Buddha Dhamma started to stabilize, and my progress along the path of Dhamma became very smooth and fast. It was only in the year 2004 when I was invited by a sister in the Dhamma to share the Dhamma that arise the condition for me to really look at the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. I remember it was at Section 17, Selangor Vipassana Society, the old building. When she asked me what topic I want to start off with, I then saw a framed photo of the Buddha giving the first sermon to the five ascetics on the wall. So I said to her, since the Buddha start with that, I would also like to start with that. That is the first sermon. I then asked her for a copy of the sutta, which she so kindly gave to me. It was a Thai chanting book. And the moment I read the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, straight away I could link my cultivation to it. And there was so much joy. I suddenly understood its meaning and how the three turning correspond to the three types of wisdom that the Buddha talked about in the sutta. I had developed my own cultivation following this three turning without knowing that they were the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. So this is how all this came to be, then the understanding and all those things. The other part is the Buddha became enlightened through self-realization is because a lot of people may not understand. You will recall in the sutta that he got two teachers in there. Karena, Alarai, Udaka. These are the two very famous teachers. Then why he said he actually realized the final enlightenment himself? You know why? He didn't lie. Because when he met there's a merchant, I think, after he came out of his meditation poetry after the 7 week. Then this merchant met him, saw his face so serene, so peaceful. Then he felt that he is a good monk, a very special monk. So he approached Sakyamuni Buddha. He said, I don't know how he addressed him. I think he must be recluse or what. May I know who your teacher is? And you know what he answered the merchant or not? I got no teacher, because I realized this teaching myself. So this merchant thought he very arrogant. No? Where got people got no teacher? But because he's a Sammasam Buddha, he really don't have teacher. But the two teachers cannot teach him. They teach him up to the level where he, in fact, was doing better than them. But he knew the jhana 7 and 8, even the formless jhana, they are still within the conditional, within the 31 plane. So that's why he seek his own understanding. Then he continued to meditate. Then he starts to give up self-motivation. Then he starts to eat. Then the 5 ascetic left him. Then underneath the Bodhi tree, he actually realized himself. So this is how the Buddha actually speak the truth. He didn't lie. So when you understand, this understanding came from his own self-realization. That's why he don't have a teacher. Okay? So that is the other answer. Huh? So self-enlightenment. Okay. Question 2. According to Brother Theo, he said, our mind can only do one thing at a time. But in my meditation, how come I could be aware of my in and out breath, and simultaneously I could be aware of a lot of other things, like my other thoughts, perception, and bodily sensation? Why is it so? What do you think? Huh? Because he haven't have the stability of mindfulness and understanding. That's why he think simultaneously he can do that. Actually, because the mind moves so fast, perception moves so fast, so it's actually like you can multitask, understand? That's why you attend lecture, how? You can hear, you can see, you can think, you can be aware. Does it mean that simultaneously you do them all? Yeah? You can only do one thing at a time, then, no matter how fast. At that moment, if you are aware of this, actually there's nothing to be aware. If you are aware, you cannot think. But the moment you perceive and tell me that you can be with the breathing, mindful, aware, and simultaneously I could be aware of a lot of other things, like my other thought, perception, and bodily sensation. But they appear one at a time, understand? Although very fast, because your awareness is there. So I read you the answer. This is a very good question. You see, when your anapanasati has stabilized, your awareness will become, or will enable you to do that, because mindfulness of your in and out breath will help you anchor your awareness there. With that awareness, silent mind, with inner awareness of the breath, you can definitely be aware of your thought, perception, and bodily sensation or tactile consciousness. Because every time when you are aware, you are not thinking. So this awareness of all the other mental activity like perception, tactile, and thought consciousness are actually all separate entities. But because your mind can move so fast, it is as if you can multitask them. As if you are, they are all happening simultaneously. When you are aware of the breathing or the breath, there is no thought. There is mind and breath as one. But the moment you start to arise a perception of what you have perceived, your mental aggregates of sanya has arisen. So it's a separate entity. Then what do you do? Chances are, you will deludedly react and grasp onto it via your views and opinion. Unless you have the wisdom or uniso manasikara, means wise attention at the moment of sense experience, to experience your feeling, then your feeling will be Otherwise, your feeling will be conditioned into craving of like and dislike almost immediately. With wisdom, mindfulness, and heedfulness, you can be aware of thought and its content. You can be aware of the moment, at the moment of sense perception, feeling, and consciousness, etc. But the moment you are lost in thought or preoccupied with what you perceive, then your mind is no longer aware, and you have become heedless. The mind that is aware is always silent. Hence, the moment you are aware again, you don't perceive or think anymore. The mind with silent inner awareness is actually the oneness nature that can take on the entire phenomenal world outside. So this one let you understand is not simultaneously you see them all or aware of them all. They are so fast. Eh? So actually it's different moments. Question 3. During my meditation, I was more aware and I was able to sense the cooking smell. Oh, this is very good. From behind the kitchen, as if it's just right in front of my nose. Oh, why? So like this morning, was it yesterday or this morning? This morning, before lunch. This one also not bad, this Kanyamita. When my mind is truly silent and when your mind is truly silent and you are aware, then this is possible because the smell is just the smell consciousness. The smell can travel to your nose because you are more sensitive. When the mind is silent and not preoccupied any thinking or distracted by any worry or anxiety, if it is a vibration like very distant sound, you can also be aware of it. And the vibration hearing consciousness is very clear and sort of magnified. The silent mind in awareness pervades the entire oneness. Meditation is not about inquiry, how come my mind is like that? Meditation is about developing the wisdom to understand clearly the universal characteristics and the universal law that governs life and existence, and to understand how you function as a human being and what this so-called human being is all about. It is also to understand how the mind works and functions, thereby understanding clearly the 12 links or dependent origination as taught by the Buddha. The Dhamma or truth is everywhere, but why can't you see? If only your mind is silent, you will be aware, then you can see. It is as if all of a sudden you can awaken to it. Hearing the truth, contemplating and reflecting upon it, can bring about a lot of joy. Wisdom is not a rigid knowledge, it must be awakened to. Thought is created via a focusing of the perceived with its content of consciousness that was introduced into it. Initially, it's just spacious, pure awareness and silence. Learn to see how thought arises. When the mundane mind collapses, the pure awareness nature or supramundane mind will shine forth and it will be a lot clearer. So as you progress, your awareness become more and more refined, more and more stable. Then when the mundane mind collapses, it becomes so clear, everything you see so clearly. Then no more doubt. Okay, next chapter. When random thoughts arise, do not react, suppress or try to control them. Just let things be and flow with them. Then investigate and find out what happens when you do that. You will come to understand that they are just thoughts which come and go according to your mental conditioning. You will also come to understand that when your 5 mental hindrances are around, you are not peaceful. And when the 5 spiritual faculties are there, they will counter the 5 mental hindrances, and you are then naturally peaceful. No matter what happens, do not try to control or suppress thought. Only through understanding you free your mind, not through the doing via thought which is egoic. You must investigate why are you not peaceful. Now, why are you like that and why are you not peaceful? The essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha will enable us to see the danger of the 3 words of greed, hatred and delusion. the importance of heedfulness and the importance of following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, we are keeping precept. Do good and purify the mind, we are cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path until one is awakened. Similarly, one will also see the importance of cultivating Dana, Sila, Bhavana. Based on the right view with regards to the three important spiritual laws, Kama Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama, that governs all of our life and existence. So as to understand and see the full picture of the Dhamma cultivation clearly. And this on the 10 Dhamma rhyme, for those who are new, you listen. The Buddhist cosmology consists of the 10 Dhamma rhyme, Si Fa Jie. The first four rhymes are the rhyme of the enlightened ones, and they are the rhyme of the Buddha, Fo Fa Jie, the rhyme of the Bodhisattva, Pu Sa Fa Jie, the rhyme of the conditioned enlightened one, or Yan Jiao Fa Jie. Yan Jue means through the dependent origination, Si Yin Yuan, they become enlightened. The rhyme of the sound hearer means Sen Wen Fa Jie. These four are the enlightened beings' rhyme. The other six rhymes are the rhyme of living beings subject to birth and death, and they are equivalent to the 31 plane of existence within Theravada tradition. They are the rhyme of the heavenly beings, Tian Ren Fa Jie, the rhyme of the human being, Ren Dao Fa Jie. Then you have the rhyme of the demon, Asuro Fa Jie. Then you have the rhyme of the animal, Chu Sheng Fa Jie. Then you have the rhyme of the hungry ghost, Er Gui Fa Jie. Then you have the rhyme of the hell, Di Yu Fa Jie. Some of the great bodhisattva like Kuan Yin, Wen Su, Pu Xian, Erstal Bodhisattva, or Di Zhang Wang Bodhisattva, have already fulfilled their 10 perfection to become Samasambuddha, but due to their great compassion and love for the living being, they have used their great vow to continue to come and save living being, just like a Erstal Bodhisattva. One of his vows is if the hell is not empty of living being, he will not become a Samasambuddha. So this is how they stay on. Law of dependent origination in a flowchart form, like I explained earlier. First link is avijja, ignorant. Because of ignorance, not understanding the truth, wanting to know, wanting to experience, you think. That's why it conditions sankara, the second link, mental activity. Then the moment you think, the mind make contact. That's why upon contact, mental consciousness arises. This is vijnanam. Then mental consciousness condition the five aggregate of form and mind, nama rupang. This is when you input the content of consciousness. Okay, then it become a thought, mental aggregate of five form and mind. Then dependent on the what they call five mental aggregate of form and mind, there must be sense basis for it to make contact. Otherwise, the sixth sense door cannot arise. The salayatana sense basis cannot arise. Then because of that, it conditions contact, pasat. Then you look at avijja, I put an arrow. When there is avijja, you know what is happening or not. There is also contact in the mind and the sound. Ignorant condition, mental consciousness, means there is also contact. So ignorant contact will condition the consciousness, then your input of the content of consciousness is with delusion, with wrong view. That's how it goes. But upon contact, during the avijja, ignorant contact, pasat is also there. So that's why I put the arrow and the turn on. Then after that, feeling arises. Then feeling condition, craving. That's why from ignorant contact, there is also feeling. So there is this feeling that immediately conditions craving if you don't have wisdom. Then grasping, upadana. Then after that, you become that thing, becoming. Then you are born into it, means transgression. And because of the old age, sickness and death leading to the whole mass of suffering, sorrow, lamentation, grief, etc. Hence arise the whole mess of suffering. So this is how the whole thing move. Then when you understand, it's multidimensional. Ignorant contact also, condition, craving, movement. So all this, you will understand. You will understand. So not necessary contact arise feeling. Your contact can also arise mental activity, sankhara, ignorant contact. You know why our computer, when the square, you don't open big enough, the word missing. That's why make a note, Parmasri. Where is she? Oh, lying down meditation. Okay, page 136, she will know. Actually, that box, I remember we caught that thing. It's supposed to amend already. I don't know why it's still there. You know. Five aggregate of form and mind. You can write down there, mind. Well, good. At least we pick up all this. So later on, if we intend to reprint, we can do it. Thanks for the showing of that mistake. Okay, we'll read through quickly. The first link is ignorant. Ignorant of what? The truth of or reality of life and existence. That is the lack of right view with regards to law of karma, four noble truth, and law of dependent origination. One major aspect of ignorance is self-delusion, sakkaya ditti. This is the sole culprit that conditions our grasping and holding on to all the creation and mind as real, and trying to own and possess them. Upon understanding clearly via meditation that there is no one, no I and me or Atta within the five aggregate of form and mind of ours, then there is no more wrong view, self-delusion, to grasp and to cling unto the phenomenal world of consciousness created by mind. With this wisdom, the form and mind can be free of all suffering. Because of this ignorant or wrong view, living being thinks a lot, and thinking arise because they don't understand what is going on in life. So one thing to know and one thing to understand life, the living being creates more thinking or sankhara, hence becoming more heedless, as mind is also an organ of thoughts. So this thinking creates contact, the trigger of mental consciousness or vijnanam. Then with the vijnanam, there is the mental form that enters the mind via perception or sanya. Hence arise the five mental aggregates of form and mind or nama rupang. Please read the blue book, Dependent Origination, Dhamma discussion transcript on the law of dependent origination dated May 2008. Based on a direct transcript from the recorded talk as given by me on the 8th of September 2005, that is 11 years ago, for a more detailed explanation of all these other links. Then part 3, question 1. Relative, why is it while in meditation I can be at peace with most things, like itchiness, etc., but only not with pain? Maybe he can endure itchiness, numbness, or something, but pain cannot. If you can endure itchiness, you should be able to endure pain also, because they are quite similar. It is a result of understanding via meditation. Not being at peace with pain could be due to your inability to relax into it via acceptance. That is, your mind have negative craving to push away that so-called painful sensation that you are labeled to be so, hence giving it the strength to become a hindrance. And your mind, hindrance of your mind, which is ill will. Your mind wants things your way, hence conditioning suffering in your mind when you cannot get what you want. You have to silence your mind and investigate. Then you will understand what is going on. Meditation is to be done with understanding and not just to endure that pain. Without understanding, inquire, why am I not peaceful and not silent? Understand the importance of the five spiritual faculties that are needed to counter the five mental hindrances, and the danger of allowing the hindrance of mind to be around. Then the answer will come to you through an understanding, and then you will know what to do. Try to just relax into the sensation and not label it as such to see what happens. Develop wisdom to free. Always remember only wisdom free. That's why you have to be with it. Don't create labor through mental hindrance. Okay, chapter 41. I think we are ending already. Oh, hooray. Tomorrow, 9 o'clock already. Okay, we stop here. Tonight, you want to do any chanting or not? Huh? Better. So what, you want to chant Heart Sutta? Huh? Joyce? Want to chant Heart Sutta or yesterday? Yesterday is called what? Mahakaruna. Anybody got any feeling which sutta you all want to chant? Okay, I heard Heart Sutta. Okay. Oh, you all know how to chant. Oh, very good, that one. Oh, good. Birthday. Who? Brother Tay or who? Brother Danny is good. But Brother Danny, is he okay? Is he okay? Never mind, I think don't disturb him. Let him rest. Brother Tay can chant. Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta, oh, can. Eng Bi can chant, I think. Susan also can. Come. Okay.